Let's go to Joe and Matt Laurel before we get to Nick Foles in a few minutes. Joe, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, how am I doing? It's January 2nd. We're talking about Eagles playoffs. I'm great.
It's a gift.
This is fantastic. But, like, just real quick, I just have two things. Like, the X's and O's, I mean, we're talking a lot about Foles naturally. It's a talk. But the secondary, man, I feel like they're starting to, like,
yeah,
get an identity. You got Maddox playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
how about team. Douglas, man? Douglas is playing well.
He's an animal. I've been saying that, man. I've been saying, like, and why is he not, you know, whatever. Listen, they're playing him in a better spot. Guy's a hitter. He's just playing great. But, you know, that's a big part of this game. I mean, you know, holding them and then just letting Nick settle in and play his game a little short, you know, whatever. But I got to tell you, man, the one thing I really love about this Nick Foles and the way the Eagles have embraced the city and the way the city embraced them is, like, just I look at my daughter's 8, my son's 12. These kids are more into football than I ever was at that age. My daughter on Sunday is on NFL.com, and she's looking up scores and highlights from the Chicago game.
Is she really? Wow, that's cool, man.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's amazing, right? I mean, we love the game. We've been through all those lows.
Yeah.
You know, but this is just great for
it football. It is, Joe. Yeah. It's cool,
listen,
man.
Guys, go Birds.
Go
man.
Birds, brother.
Happy New Year.
Greg, happy New Year, Joe.
Enjoy it, Joe. That's the thing. A lot of us didn't think, after that loss to the Saints, the 48-10, I didn't think that this was possible. Yeah. You just didn't see a turnaround at that point.
Well, that's what's so remarkable about what Foles has done.
Because they didn't look like a team that could do that.
Mm-mm.
And then they went, 5-6 to wrap up the season and get in. And the loss was the overtime loss to the Cowboys, which we didn't like the way that was refereed, particularly the opening kickoff play. So,
if they win that game, is Foles still the quarterback?
I have no idea. Probably because of the injury.
Wow.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Hmm.
I mean, does he still try to gut
it out? Yeah, I don't know. And if he does try to gut it out, do they make the playoffs? Even if they win that game.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, it's a tough question. You're asking me questions I'm not prepared to answer. It's our first day back. I need to ease into the new year here. You're giving me the hard ones right out of the gate. Now, we're going to hear from Nick Foles in a couple minutes. And Nick is going to get up there, and he seems to say the right things all the time. I mean, he's good at the podium. He's very humble. And I'm sure he'll cite his faith
right.
And what it means to play for the Eagles. I think those are the things that we're going to hear. But the thing that I think is to look out for is the way his voice sounds when he says it. Because he's so just relaxed. It's like he just got out of an all-day day spa. Has been spaing all day. Had like the 5-star treatment, right?
What about Philly?
Yeah, just like totally chill. Like you just got done a 90-minute Swedish massage. Yeah? That's the thing that's incredible about it.
Yeah.
It's... It is amazing that he's able to accomplish. Let me give you another one of these stats, all right?
Okay, give it to me.
Because these are incredible. And these are from Ruben Frank's 10 stats about Nick Foles you won't believe. He's completed 70% of his passes in 4 straight games, which ties the franchise record set earlier this year by Wentz. Going back to last year's playoffs, he's hit on 70% of his passes in 6 of his last 8 games, all but the Super Bowl where he hit with 65% in the Super Bowl. And the 2018 opener this year against the Falcons, where he was 56%. 70%.
Damn.
When you hear that, I mean, 70% is a gaudy completion percentage.
Sure is.
And it's not like he just was dumping it off to Zach Ertz all day.
No, he's going down the field.
He's going That's down the thing. I mean, it's amazing.
He throws, he does. You know what he's done this year that he did not, or then last year in the Super Bowl, obviously during the run, that he didn't do with Chip Kelly? His deep ball is better.
Mm-hmm. Not as much arc.
Yeah. When he was with Chip, I mean, it was like pop-ups.
Yeah, it was like a lollipop.
Yeah, but it's a lot. I mean, he threw, you can say what you want about the Patriots defense, but he threw 2 outrageous throws, like bombs that were bucket throws.
Yeah, dropped it perfect.
And he did it against the Rams, too.
Yeah, he did.
And as good as he was, he did that one against the Rams, but as good as he played against the Rams and Sunday with all the completions, to me, the way he diced the Texans, because that game was lost. If he doesn't throw for every one of those 471 yards and four touchdowns, they lose.
Yeah. No, you're right. He was the catalyst and the reason why they won that game, and they absolutely needed that game to get in. It was paramount, and you know, facing two tough opponents in a row, too. Well, coming back from a trip out west where you got to get emotion back up after playing the Rams, then you got to play the Texans. I didn't feel good about that Texans game. I told you. I thought they'd run out of gas. But he didn't run out of gas. 471, four touchdowns.
Nah, I mean, to me, that was the most impressive thing. You know, Ram game was good. I thought, you know, Eagles caught them. They were kind of right. They were kind of struggling. Goff was struggling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought everything conspired nicely. And look, he played well up until that interception, the end of the game, that almost put the game in peril.
Yeah.
But he was fantastic against the Texans.
Surgical. We'll hear from Nick Foles momentarily. He's going to address the media on this Wednesday, all in advance of the Eagles and the Bears coming up Sunday at 4:40. We got to wait till 4:40 on Sunday.
That's good, though. I like that.
You like the waiting game? Get all the other games out of the way.
I do. I love it.
Start knocking teams off, sending them into the offseason. Maybe even the Cowboys get sent by Seattle Saturday night. And you wake up Sunday, you got a warm-up game, and then you got the main act.
Yeah, 4:40.
4:40. Right, then you split your dinner right at halftime. Or are you just noshing the whole time?
Yeah, no, I'm out on this. There's no dinner. I want to watch the game.
Now, do you get the whole crew together for this? The usual suspects?
It's funny. I don't know. I haven't even thought about it.
No? No. You got to get your day in order.
No, I don't. I got to. That'll happen over the weekend. Like, I don't.
Okay. Now, will you and Mikey Miss be doing the fourth quarter fan cred?
I'm sure. I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will.
I'm going to have to drop on there and see what you fellas are talking about.
That's fun. I enjoy it.
Are you doing it on a computer?
Yeah, we're he and I can see one another
virtually.
Yeah, so it's fun. It's fun to do it with him. I enjoy it.
A little breaking balls on there too.
Yeah, we enjoy it. Like we're watching the game together. It's fun. It's like we're next to each other.
But you don't.
He'll usually have like a nice digestif. He'll get Amaro.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll have I had a Guinness last time.
All right.
Or some scotch.
I gotta dip in on this. Check it out. Send me a link. You know how to send a link?
I do.
All right. Yeah. 610-632-0975. We're waiting the arrival of Nick Foles to the podium. When he does, we'll bring it to you live. Let's go to Darrell in St. Louis right now on the Fanatic. How you doing, Darrell?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Dick?
Hey, I'm something's going on, Anthony. I'm the minister from St. Louis.
What do you say, buddy? How's everything going?
How's it going, man?
Good.
How's it going, all right? I see you got moved to a different time slot now.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I missed you, buddy.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, guys.
You too, Darrell. You too, buddy. You feeling it?
Oh, yes, I'm feeling it, but I got to say, the Eagles, they do trade Carson Wentz. I think that's a big mistake.
Yeah, ultimately, I don't think they wind up doing that.
Oh, thank goodness.
I don't think they're going to trade Carson. I don't. I don't say it.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Foles, he's done a good job for us, but I wish we could keep both. But I think Carson's the future.
Yeah, and I don't. I think they think that, too, and I think that's kind of how it plays out. Now, all school's out, right, if they win another Super Bowl. If they win another Super Bowl, Darrell, I might just retire, right, as a fan.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
What's left? That's it, man. Yeah. Listen, you have a happy new year, pal. Always good to talk to you. Thanks, Darrell.
Same here, man. All right.
So somebody tweeted in a question. I'm trying to find it because I wanted to ask you the question about over the next 5 or 7 years in the NFL. When you would talk about keeping Foles or trading Wentz, whatever scenario you come up with, who would you be more you don't want to face as an opposition? Nick Foles for the next 5 years or Carson Wentz? Say it was the Giants was the team. Now, they wouldn't trade Wentz to the Giants. Foles could end up with the Giants by virtue of the fact that he'd be a free agent and could sign there. But if, say, let's use the Giants as the example. Over the next 5 years, if Nick Foles is a Giant or Carson Wentz is a Giant, your preference is for Nick Foles to be the Giant, knowing we know about when he has to play 16 games.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's easy, right?
Yeah, I believe that.
I'm not overthinking this,
right,
am I?
No.
I mean, I'm not just making the assumption he's going to go in there and throw for 84% completion percentage and quarterback rating of 115.6. even with those weapons.
No, but there's a lot of people that want to trade Carson. I don't know what they're going to cite. They're going to cite is being prone to injury.
Or off injury.
Which is different than being injury prone. Prone to injury because of his style, which exposes him. So I'm sure the people who want to trade him will cite that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how you could, like, if the season ends Sunday, which obviously, you know, we all hope it doesn't. But if it does, I don't know how you could get behind trading Carson Wentz. I don't see that.
So the prone to injury thing because of the way he plays, but that can be remedied by the way he plays.
Right.
But if you're injury prone, that can't be remedied because you're just fragile. For lack of a better term.
Well, he's not fragile. Yeah. I mean, you look at him. And he's not fragile. He plays tight. He has to learn to take care of himself. I mean, that's
preserve.
A big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. 610-632-0975. As soon as Nick Foles steps to the podium, we'll bring it to you. Aaron in Germantown's on the Fanatic. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Not much, man. You know, I talked to you guys a few times, and I don't tweet a lot. But right when Carson was coming back, I tweeted you, Anthony, the video of his highlights. I said, never forget.
Because I think
people forgot what Carson did for us. And we'll never forget what Nick did for us. And Nick is our guy this week. And at the end of the season, he'll ride off to the sunset like John Wayne. And that'll be great. But I don't know. I don't see how anybody could think of trading Carson and keeping Nick.
Yeah, I hear you. And I do think that people forget how good he was last year. And that, you know, look, when you're coming off that kind of injury and then you throw in, you know, whether the back, that you're not going to look as sharp. I mean, I got to believe, and again, I don't know it, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him. But if you look at how much he threw over the middle, not just to Ertz, which he threw a lot of, but even the slants, the inside slants, I think he had trouble going to the outside. He had trouble when he opened up his shoulder, whether that's the back, getting the ball down the field because he was not accurate down the field, and he was last year.
Well, that puts a different strain on your knee, too.
Yeah, and also different guys footwork. Weren't getting open like they were. The guys weren't getting open down the field like they were before. I think if we had Mac Hollins, that'll make a big difference down the field, too.
It was funny. With the way the offense looked under Foles, I can't go to that.
You can't give that.
I can't give that to Carson.
It just seemed like the play calling was way different with Foles, though. Like they dumbed it down for Foles a lot. And I think if you did that with Carson,
yeah, but I think you're starting to see. Thanks,
I don't
Aaron.
Know, I like good stuff, Aaron. But I don't know. I don't know if I can say that.
You can't make that alibi.
No, I can't because you know the only difference was Sproles.
Mm-hmm.
It was if you look at the only difference between. What Nick has had since Carson Sproles. Now that's big, but you know, Nick goes down a field and Carson didn't go down a field. I think it had more to do with the back than it did with the rest of the offense. I give Foles credit because he went down the field and he allowed them to go, he allowed Alshon to go make a play. I mean, Alshon has been resuscitated.
Oh.
Right, with Nick Foles.
Oh, in a huge way.
Yeah.
I mean, we heard some rumblings that maybe he wasn't happy. There was a report that came out from, I think, Josina Anderson that they were too reliant on Ertz.
I don't know. Like to me, because I saw last year was different.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back and rewatch all those games, he had a connection with Alshon.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what leads me to believe that something happened that with the back or the knee or
something
whatever the heck
him.
Was going on. That he just couldn't get the ball down the field. And then he started to, I think he also presses.
What do you mean by that?
I think he presses. I think he was pressing a lot this year, knowing that he wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
He's pressing.
So he didn't have, you're right. I think when we heard from players after the back issue came up, that they were saying, we noticed it, that he didn't have the same zip on the ball.
Yeah.
That he had prior, and it was and like Jordan Matthews was a guy who talked about it, who was obviously here with him in his rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all real.
Yeah, no, and again, it's not an alibi, but
yeah, that's not an alibi. But I'm not going to go with the fact that play calling was different. I'm not doing because Nick Foles made the offense better.
Yeah.
When he got it.
And the play calling of late, it looks like Doug has settled in again, and the play calling's been, he's had some creative design again. Now that he's got Foles back in there, at first it was simpler, but he's starting to incorporate some more things. You see some pitches to Aguilar, like on a sweep. And
after missed a jet sweep.
Yeah.
I mean, they run a lot of
jet
sweep.
I love that play, don't they? Let's go to Mark in Olney on the Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, good. Mark.
I think that you have to believe what you're seeing with your eyes, and that is Foles is possibly a better quarterback than Wentz, and particularly since he's 29, 30, he's in the prime of his career, and I think we could win with him for the next 3 to 5 years without a question. And I think that's why the Eagles are going to trade Wentz after Foles wins the Super Bowl, because the difference between putting Wentz in over Foles is only incremental and maybe just a little bit more mobility. But the difference in improving your franchise and trading Wentz, maybe getting 2 first-round picks, you can get a lot. You can improve your franchise a lot more by trading them than you could by replacing Foles with him. Or Foles with him. So
you're talking about the collective here, Mark. If you trade Wentz, you get 2 first-round picks. You use those picks to, whatever, draft a lineman and another, I don't know, whatever you need, a player or a wide receiver.
Yeah, whatever you do with it, you can improve your team by a greater degree than you can improve your team by replacing Foles with Wentz.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not doing that, but, you know, because I think... You said look at your eyes. I also remember what I saw with my eyes last year with Wentz.
Well, Wentz, I think, is he didn't do anything wrong. But
no, last year he was great.
Did everything right.
Last year he was great last year.
Well, let's put it like this. Foles drops his bombs into bread baskets. Wentz drops his bombs into a swimming pool. And that's the reason why.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I disagree with that. Now, this year you're right, Mark, but last year you would be wrong.
Well, we've got to join Nick Foles right now as he addresses the media.
How do you implement it now?
I say the big thing is, you know, everything picks up a little bit more in the playoffs. You know, one-game seasons. I mean, sort of how it's been for us the last several weeks, just preparing. I mean, we had to, you know, win to stay alive. And, you know, it's like I've been talking about, just focusing on the moment. Today, the most important thing is Wednesday. It's what we have to do right now. To prepare, to recover, to do it all again tomorrow. So that's the thing I learned is, you know, you can make it as big as you want it, or you can make it as small. And I choose to make it smaller so I can just hone in on what I got to focus on today. So by game time, I know I did everything I could to prepare for that moment. Then I can just go out there and play.
How are you feeling getting up in the morning? Is it really the hard part?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of soreness, but every day drastically improving. You know, a lot of time, you know, working on recovery, getting ready for this game, but I feel great. You know, we just did our first part of our day, was able to move around a little bit and feel really good.
Will you wear any extra?
I mean, I'll wear my normal stuff, maybe add a little bit in there just for, you know, a little bit more, but other than that, I want to be able to function and move around, so... but like I said, by game day, I'll feel great.
Now, what do you think has made you so successful in these big games? When you go back to last year, down the stretch in the playoffs, and you haven't lost a game in December or later the last 2 seasons. What do you think has made you in these big moments so successful?
Simple. I'm surrounded by great people that do their job at a really high level, that care for one another, and I'm just a small piece of the puzzle that goes in there and does my job. You know, always out there playing for my coaches, playing for my teammates. You know, I think that's the key, especially this time of year, is, you know, you lean on one another. We talk about it all the time. So I've been blessed to be a part of a great group of people. And ultimately that's led to success in, you know, the later months and into the playoffs.
What can you do on Sunday to make sure that Mac or any other talented defensive players don't take a shot at the rim?
Just play fast, trust the guys up front. I mean, I can't worry about that when I'm playing. So I'm going to draw back and play the game. We're going to go out there and give it everything we have every single play. So it's something I can't worry about.
In playing a defense that forces turnovers at great degree, how does that affect what you play? Are you less inclined to let it rip, like you said?
you know, what, studying film, seeing what they do, I mean, they're extremely talented defense. I'm really impressed with what I see from their front, from their secondary, from their linebackers. They do a great job with vision. The reason they have a lot of turnovers, obviously, is the pressure they can cause up front, which causes a little havoc. Quarterbacks holding on the ball, and then, you know, their secondary understands concepts. They can tell when receivers are running different routes what else is coming behind it, so they're able to, you know, have vision on it and cut it, and, you know, they have really good ball skills, and that's something that you don't always see. So I've been very impressed with, you know, while I'm watching film, of what they do. So the key to that is really going out there executing, being aware of, you know, when they have vision, what they're doing, and ultimately playing fast and not worrying about making mistakes.
You know, you've been able to get, I mean, you can get the ball out a lot quicker these three starts than weeks one and two when you started. What's been behind that?
Just playing ball. You know, you go out there, it's like I talk about read and react. That's just sort of what's happened. The different games, each game I always talk about as a new entity. You go out there and you feel the game, you understand the game, you understand game management, what's going on. You know, my body at times knows when to take the shot, when not to, when to be smart, stay inside the chain. So these last 3 weeks, that's just sort of how it's gone. We've been able to play at a faster level. Wide receivers are doing a really good job running the routes, getting open quickly. You know, line's doing a great job. So I think we're playing fast. And it's been good for us to do that.
It seems like the last believer in momentum kind of carrying over in the playoffs, you know, considering that you guys, you know, had to win your last three and five out of six in order just to be in this case. Like, you know, the fact you guys have been playing all these pressure games, do you think that helps you on into the playoffs?
I think the experience helps. I think the fact that, you know, we put ourselves in a position this season where we had to do something like that, where we lost some close ones. And, you know, this last stretch, there wasn't, you know, a high percent chance of us even being in this situation we're in now. I think that experience helps us. But, you know, the momentum part is simply confidence in one another. But at the end of the day, we're in the playoffs and we're going against a team that is also extremely confident. We're going to be the road team. We're going into their house. This is a really tall task. I mean, this is a great opponent, something that as an athlete and a competitor, you look forward to playing these games. So I think as long as we, you know, we continue to work, you know, we know how we've prepared these last several weeks, continue to do that. And then once we get into game day and we're on the field, we just lean on each other and play fast. I think that's the key.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about staying on schedule with an offense. Staying ahead of the change, is that even more important when you face a pass rush like this one?
It's always important, especially when you have a pass rush and a defense that's been doing a really good job stopping the run with their linebackers. So, I mean, it's important in any game. You don't ever really want to get into a second and long, third and long, because the percentage chance of, you know, executing those situations isn't great. And, you know, if you get to third and long, sometimes you tend to force balls into coverages downfield trying to make a big play. So that's part of the game that, you know, staying inside the chains, you know, opens up your playbook a lot more than, you know, when you're a lot further back. So it helps the offensive rhythm. It helps everything. So that's something that, you know, any football coach, any player will tell you that's a really important part of the game.
It seems like the last few weeks you've been under center a little bit more.
Well, I got two questions going at the same time. So here we'll go here, and then we'll go here. You know, I think the big thing is we're a confident team. We're a team that, you know, we talk about all the time. It's about, you know, the people inside this building that work together. And with that confidence, that belief in one another, you can go out there and do great things. So we've been able to do that the last several weeks. Those weeks don't mean anything right now because we're in a new week. So we just have to continue to believe that way, continue to prepare that way. And I'm going to sound like a broken record, but that's simple. I mean, I can say all these different things, but it doesn't mean anything. The second I hit the field, that's what matters. So it's the little things I do from right now till then, and all of us in this building do right now till then, that will matter and allow us to play confidently on game day.
It seems like you've been under center a little bit more recently. How much work has gone into that, and why do you think it's been working?
I mean, it's just part of our offense. You know, each week we develop a game plan. The coaches do a great job of, you know, developing a game plan that is going to give us success on game day. It's what they see, what they put together to say, hey, y'all go out there, we execute this, it'll, you know, provide success. So it's just been part of our game plan. I think anytime you can show a defense under center gun and all the different looks that looks somewhat similar but a little bit different, I think it's tough for them to key on. So we have to be able to do both to be successful.
Do you think about wanting to wear that jersey again at least one more time and hopefully going forward? How much has that helped with your focus the past 3 weeks and going into this game against the Bears?
It's big. I mean, I always talk about being in the moment. The jersey, being a part of the Eagles, the unique situation, that's where, every time I wear it now, it's, I don't know what's going to happen. That's where I tell y'all, I don't worry about it, but I'm aware of it, and it means a lot to me to wear the jersey, to be a part of this team. So, the only thing we're guaranteed is I get to, wear it one more time today at practice, wear it throughout this week, and then on game day. So that's the only thing that, I'm preparing for, and then we'll see what happens. Absolutely. Matt Nagy's a tremendous coach. I think the world of him. The thing that's most impressive about him is, he's got a great offensive mind. He's great with the guys. But he's just a genuine person. Like, he's not trying to be anything else. He's just going to be who he is. And, that draws people to him. That's why he's been able to, create a atmosphere in Chicago that's a winning atmosphere. And it takes more than him, and he'll tell you that. But, I'm very impressed with him as a coach. I mean, obviously, I think they're very well-rounded. I think they mix up the coverage as well. Their front, their defensive linemen, they do a really good job of, pressure. They're athletic guys. Their linebackers do a good – they're very athletic. They move around well. But the thing that I'm really impressed with is their secondary and the vision they can have with route recognition and eyes on the quarterback. And, that becomes difficult because defenses that can do that, that's a different element. They're not just going to line up and play one coverage. They're going to mix it up. They're going to, try to confuse my eyes. They're going to try to confuse us with different looks. And sometimes defenses do that and they're not good at it and they get gassed. The thing I see with them is they're very good at it. And they've been good at it all year, and they're getting better as the year's going on. So it will be a great challenge for us.
What similarities do you see between they've coached a long time together, and I think it was 9 years as assistants together?
Yeah. I think the big thing with both of them that, comes to mind first is they're genuine. Like, they're going to be who they are. They're not going to try to, be anything else. And, they were with Andy for a long time. And Coach Reed, he always says, let your personality show, be who you are. And, that's what they've done. And that's the thing that's been impressive. I said when I came here with Doug, he was the same guy that was my quarterback coach, that is my head coach. Obviously, his responsibility has changed. When Nagy was a quality control here, and then he was my offensive coordinator in Kansas City, the same person, just responsibility changed. And that is something that's very impressive because sometimes people's title or role changes, and all of a sudden they're a different person, and they puff out their chest a little bit more. And that's something that I'm not drawn to. So I've always been drawn to Matt Nagy, to Doug Peterson, to Andy Reid, because they're genuine people and they're people I enjoy playing for.
Do you have any examples of people that popped out?
No, I'm not going to mention that. I was just broad examples, so they're out there.
In other places, obviously, what does Jason Kelce mean as far as being your center, as far as being able to recognize pass rush, get protection right, all those things?
In my opinion, he's the best in the league. His ability, not only as an athlete, but just from a just understanding the game of football standpoint, is so impressive. And every time I get to play with him, I tell him I thoroughly enjoy it because, there's no one better at doing what he does than him. I can't say enough about how he can see different things. He understands coverages. He understands techniques. He understands everything, and it's hilarious. But the O-line as a whole, the way, Coach Stoutland and everyone in that room, like, they work together is just extremely impressive. The communication up front, the way, that is what ground – that's the first line, that's everything to our offense, is that O-line and what they do. And they don't get enough credit. But all those guys are unbelievable athletes. The way they understand defenses, the way they can communicate different looks. I mean, that is why our offense has had success these last several years, is because we have such a great group up front and great coaches.
One in the back, one right here.
Last year, the fan base and the team really gelled on the underdog mentality.
come into this really truly as underdogs, having to play on the road, not having a better record than any of the opponents. You don't want to mimic the same, but how much of that is real again this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking a little deeper into it, I mean, to be an underdog and get back to that, we had to go through a lot as a team. Because we didn't start out that way this year. It was actually the opposite. And then we went through some growing pains as a team. We had to fight through it. Then, you know, the outside, everyone's wondering what happened. And, you know, we're sticking together, going through the adversity. And I think the big thing through it all is that, you know, you continue to evolve and your DNA as a team starts meshing together. We've talked about that. And every year it's a new DNA. So I think it's just more of it's brought us closer together, what's happened this year on the ups and downs and everything. And, you know, it's a strong mentality. We know that, you know, there's not a lot of expectations. People have doubted us. But, you know, the only thing that matters is the people in this building, the people in the locker room, what we think. Because at the end of the day, that's who's stepping on the playing field. And it's really special to be a part of, you know, a group of people that can come together when, you know, everyone else doubts you and go out there and play at a high level. And, you know, we know that's the situation again. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to worry about that because all I'm going to worry about is, you know, what's going on in this building and preparing for this game.
Nick, you have a lot of interchangeable playmakers on offense. You haven't played with all of them the whole season. How do you go about building that chemistry during the game?
Practicing at a high level, communication, if it's routes or anything, you know, talking about the coverages, what I see, what they see. I think the big thing is just communication. And then the receivers know, the running backs know, tight ends know during the game. Like, I want to talk to them. I want to know what they see, what they feel as their defender's playing them. If there's something they like, I want to know. And to me, communication is key to success. And, you know, we're doing a great job of communicating. We just have to keep it going and just keep sticking with one another. And, you know, that'll give us the best chance. Thank y'all.
There he is, Nick Foles addressing the media. So
He says all the right things. He does. He's not just says the right things, but he does come across, like, he just comes across as just a phenomenal dude.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, all right, guys, you got two questions at once. Let's start. You go here, you go there. I don't even think it's savvy, Jace.
It's just natural.
I just think he's just Nick Foles standing up there and going, hey, let's talk about the game.
Yeah. What's the big deal?
I enjoyed him talking about, because it's a great story because all roads lead back to Andy Reid.
Yeah, the Nagy.
As much as, like, you know, the man gets vilified here, I mean, this town owes him.
In a lot of ways, like, yeah. You know, like, he drafted Nick. He's groomed Doug.
He's put this whole thing in place. Like, his tree is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The people who say he's not a Hall of Famer is absurd.
Nah, he is. I think that he is already. 610-632-0975. Yeah, we'll be back to the calls right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Just to pick up where he left off, Nick Foles spoke, and he did bring up, he brought up Andy Reid, he brought up Doug, and he brought up Matt Nagy, because it's, you know, two disciples going up against one another, which is a really great storyline. There's a lot of good subplots to this thing. I mean, geez, you know, the whole Nick Foles story again, and then you have Carson, and you have the defense that has come back to life.
Yeah. The defense looks far different all of a sudden. We were crushing Jim Schwartz, and rightfully so at the time.
He was not having a good year. I still don't like his... I've said before, he's a good coach. I just don't like his scheme.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't think he... I thought he was... And I understand it was back end, and that's, he was afraid of his back end. I understand that, but I thought he was... I hated his scheme.
He's got a couple of these guys up for playing
now.
He
called his game, but yes, he's played. He's done a good job. I'm not a fan. I'll never be a fan because that's just
of the scheme.
That's just what he likes. He likes that, you know, runs wide. He doesn't like the blitz.
Yeah.
It's funny, when he blitzes, I mean, it certainly worked against, it worked in the final play against the Goff. And
yeah.
I thought.
That was a gutsy one to blitz on, too, by the way.
Well, yeah.
It's about time he showed
up. Blitz is.
Yeah. The other thing, too, the back end, and you're finding guys like Rasul Douglas. He's leading the team in tackles virtually every week.
Well, that's what you love about him is that here's physical. A corner actually will tackle.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. These corners, they hate to tackle in this league.
Yeah. Who knows what that position is going to look like next year? We'll have plenty of time to speculate about that with Darby and Jalen Mills and how they kind of attack that in the offseason. But they seem to have found maybe two guys in the right role for them. And Rasul Douglas probably eventually moved to safety. But Avante Maddox looks like he can play a little bit too. He's coached him up, and he's performed pretty well.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. The good thing is that they're heading into the playoffs playing their best football.
Yeah, definitely.
By far.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Let's get back to the phones, and we'll talk to Tom in Deptford on the Fanatic. How you doing, Tommy?
God, guys, that's why the defense is much better. I mean, Foles is keeping the defense off the field and controlling the clock for 12 minutes a game. I mean, hey, what more better can you ask for the defense to have than to be sitting on the bench for 12 minutes? I mean, that's like... And again, I love you. You know that, Ant. But right now, if the Giants came to you and said, give me Barkley.
They're not doing that. So why are we even discussing this?
Well, listen to me. Why are we so in love with Wentz? Why? Tell me why.
All right. I don't know what to tell you. Why I'm in love with Wentz? Because he is a young franchise quarterback in the making.
But again, if you got a chance to get multiple picks out there, let's do it. Listen, you want to know why Wentz was so good last year? They had a running game.
Dude, that wasn't just it. Come on. You can't marginalize. You can't marginalize him, Tommy. You're marginalizing what the kid was. You are. You just said he had a running game last year. That's what made him successful. There are 30 general managers in the league that will tell you differently.
I'm going to tell you right now, Ed, that this guy's doing it virtually with no running game. And last year, when they marched down the field, he was at 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-4, et cetera. This guy tries to throw it in traffic at 3rd-and-7, Wentz, because he's always looking at one guy. Either Ertz or everybody else.
This year, you're right. Last year was a different story.
Because they had a running game.
Dude, last year, he wasn't hurt. Like, seriously. Do you understand that when you're coming off of an ACL and then you're throwing a fractured back, you're not going to be.
Yeah, but you're not playing in the NFL, Tom.
But I know what it is to have that injury. I know what it is to have that injury.
Listen, I don't want to argue because, I'm with you. I want to root for Foles and be happy.
But I'm just trying to tell you, this guy.
All right, Tom, that's a conversation for another day. There's a playoff game coming up this weekend.
I don't know why you keep bringing back the Foles Wentz. Here's the deal. You know, if you want to trade him, then fine. Like, that's a conversation we'll have as soon as the playoffs are over. Personally, I'm not trading Wentz. Let me see what happens, but I mean, I'm not trading Wentz. And I don't think they're trading Wentz. So just so you know, don't expect that. And this whole conjecture of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, it's not happening.
I threw that. That whole thing came from Mike. I threw that to Mike during this fan cred thing. I go, Mike, Giants come to offer you Barkley at a one. That was it. It was bar talk. It was he and I drinking beers. That's what that is. That's not realistic.
It was just an absurd hypothetical.
Yes, bar room nonsense. But right now, the Eagles are in the playoffs. And Nick Foles, the quarterback. I just want to just enjoy it.
Dan in Bucks County is on the Fanatic. How you doing, Danny?
Hey, Jason, Anthony. Happy New Year. Health and happiness to your family. That's first.
You too, Danny.
Thank you. We have a little history, and we go back a little bit when you were a chip head, and I called up about the quote, the biblical quote, came in the Pharaoh. You know all that stuff. But anyway, the only reason why I'm calling is I just want to say, you know, that people are saying, well, the difference between Wentz and Foles. And, you know, when a perfect chemistry of words and music are put together and are joined together, you know, what you hear is magical and beautiful, and it touches us, you know. And Nick Foles, combined with the Eagles team and the coaches, mirrors this chemistry. And what we're saying is the performance and it's touching people, and that's the reason why we're Foles. That just happens. I mean,
I think you're right.
It's just the way it is. I mean, it's just the way it is. The other thing, I mean, two other points here, one little faster. You know, in a way, cherry picking Foles' bad games. I mean, we shouldn't be doing that. Drew Brees at 5 interceptions, 3 losses in a row. The big guys all have bad games. I mean, we know. Well,
yeah, no question about it. Yeah, Carson's had bad games. Foles has had bad games.
It happens. You go back and cherry pick them games, that's a little tough to swallow. But
who's cherry picking those games?
I think we're cherry picking those games.
Well, I'm just saying, you were saying about when he started the season this year, he was 1-1. They won a game and they lost a game.
Yeah, we were just giving the stat line on each of his games.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. I understand what
you're saying. Well, why do you take offense to that, Dan?
Well, I don't take offense to it. It's just that when you win, you win. You win as a team, you lose as a team.
Won the game against Atlanta. I didn't say he wasn't great in the game. And I gave his numbers.
I'm not trying to get into that with you. That's not what I'm trying to do.
You brought it up.
Yeah, I said, but that's what's up. But you were the ones that cherry-picked the bad
games. I didn't cherry-pick the bad games. I brought up every game.
Okay, you don't have to scream.
All five of them, Dan. I'm just tired of this argument.
All right, don't blow a valve. Take it easy.
Dude, you brought it up.
Okay, I brought it up.
And you're saying I cherry-picked the bad game. Did you hear the three good games that I brought out?
Well, of course.
If I cherry-picked it, I brought out just the bad games. Right, Danny?
Let's go back to harmony.
I said you cherry-picked those bad games.
Those are the only games he played, Dan. Let's go back to harmony.
I can't go back to harmony with Dan. I'm done. Like, if you want to accuse me of, like, I'm just bringing up his bad games, I did. I brought up his great games, too. I'm reading the 10 most unbelievable stats of Nick Foles today. I printed them out. I started with this one. Maybe Danny didn't hear it. Here you go, Dan. Listen up. Put the Q-tip in the ear. Clean it out real quick. During the calendar year 2018, Foles threw 90 third down passes and completed 72 of them. 72 for 90 on third down, 80% completion percentage for 874 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, a 135.8 passer rating in the calendar year 2018. Those numbers aren't good. No, those numbers are insane. Now, did I cherry pick that? Like, I don't understand. I don't want to have this argument leading into the game.
It is what it is, right? What I thought Dan said that was right on the money was that there is something with chemistry that when Foles comes in, that, you know, there is this beautiful music and
symphony.
It is, I think it's right. I do think that there is a big time effect. I think, and I understand why Tom wants to trade Wentz. Now, I'm not doing that, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, if you feel like you need to trade him, go ahead, make your argument. Like, just don't try to bully me into agreeing with you, because I don't. But that said, I get it, because I hear the beautiful music too. I understand it. I go, wow, this is great.
You witnessed it. The last three games.
Yeah.
It's hard to deny.
During the Super Bowl. So, I think when, you know, people coming together, I think that's the fun of this. That's the beauty of this.
I'm so burned out on that conversation. Well, there's going to be plenty of time to have it.
Yeah, because it's not about Foles versus Wentz now. It's about the Eagles versus the Bears. Like, this is a great matchup.
Yeah. And it's a matchup, even though they're a 5.5-point dog, where, you know, the experience factor is going to be a big part of this game. Mitch Trubisky, in his first playoff action, Nagy is a head coach, first time. And that experience that you can draw on from last year could be the difference in a game.
Yeah.
No question. And you know that those guys that were on the Eagles last year helped the guys that never went through it. And every playoff game, including the Super Bowl, having guys like Malcolm Jenkins, who won a Super Bowl, LeGarrette Blount, Chris Long, those guys and the experience they had to be able to tell guys what to expect when they got to Minneapolis and the craziness was all a huge help. That experience is you can't put a value on it. It's huge. Fred in South Carolina joins us on the Fanatic. What's up, Fred?
What do you say, mis hermanos?
Hermano!
Hermano!
What do you say, Freddy boy?
How you doing, cuz?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and the family. Jason, I love that you're just always ready to drop the gloves. Like, he's ready to pull the jersey over people and just go to town.
Well, I don't, look, I just don't like when a guy, Fred, goes, You cherry pick these, and then and then I tell him I put the other games out there, and he keeps insisting I cherry picked his bad performances. I love Nick Foles. I didn't even want to trade him last offseason. Like, if we're going to call it like it is, let's just be honest about it. All right?
Yes. And this is, I think, Jason, it's so new to us because we have an embarrassment of riches. Like, you look at all the other teams who had to go to a backup quarterback this year, and they were done. They were toast. They were finished. And I think that's something about Nick. It's just he has that confidence and the team trusts because they've seen what he's done that, hey, listen, we're not going to skip a beat. And because, you know, I'm on the Wentz wagon. I'm up there with you driving the Wentz wagon. I will never get off the Wentz wagon, especially, you know, when he first got drafted, I had a chance to go up to Bismarck, North Dakota and talk to people about Carson. It was and he's, you know, he is what he is. But I think right now this is just so new to us because when have we ever been in a situation where we've got nothing to lose? Our backup quarterback's playing with house money. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You're right. It is. And you know, to go back to what that guy said, that beautiful music, man.
Yeah.
You can hear that.
It's love, man. It's harmony.
It really is. Like it's let's face it. He's why you feel it's, you know, as well as the defense has been playing.
Alshon.
You know, whole thing. Yeah. It's all about Foles, why you feel confident going into Chicago.
And you just listen to him in the press conference, and that's what puts you at ease because you know he's not going to say anything stupid. You know he's going to stand up there with confidence. He is a man of faith, so he is, you know, looks for the good in people. It is this thing. It's weird. It's almost, you know, like how Fredo would say Hail Mary before every time he went fishing. Now, that didn't work out good for Fredo. But it just seemed like,
you know. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it. My buddy Andrew checks in on the text board, and he brought up something I didn't even think of.
But you're like Tom Gorantz?
No.
Throw the gloves.
Gorantz, wow.
You know, he used to throw quick punches.
The rabbit punch.
Yeah, he was always throwing quick.
Alshon Jeffrey factor returning to face his old team.
Yeah.
Longtime Bear going back to Chicago. Got good chemistry with Nick. Could be a big day for Alshon. Now, the thing we got to keep an eye out for, though, on the other side, is Trey Burton in the Philly special.
Yeah.
The Chicago special. It's a deep dish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he refused to run the Philly special earlier this season out of respect.
Yes, that's right. It's true. True story.
But now, against his former mates, maybe do they have the stones to pull that one out? Trubisky goes over and goes, Chicago, Chicago.
They actually run some gadget plays. They'll run a lot of gadget plays.
Well, that's Andy. That's the Andy Reid factor.
Doug doesn't do that.
Well, except in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
But he usually doesn't do it.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. Coming up, the final hour of the midday show. And we're going to kick off a little something formerly known as Riled Up, now known as the Bring the Heat line. Stay tuned.
No. First of all, I was not consulted with that name. No. Bring the Heat line. No.
The Heat line.
I talk.
How about the Heat lamp? Where were you on the night?
Gotta be the lamp. Light the lamp.
I'm thinking like when you get questioned by the cops. I got the hot lamp.
We can all sit down and come up with a better name.
Back with more on the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.